player who spent his career with the Twins, and I think before the Twins moved from Washington to Senators. His name was Harmon Killebrew. He hit over 500 home runs in the majors, and he was one time telling a story about when he was growing up. He was playing in the front yard with his brother and his father, and they were playing hard. They were roughhousing. Well, Harmon's mom opens the front door and sees them playing hard, and it's time for dinner, and she wants to tell them to come in. And she rebukes Harmon's dad because they were playing so hard, they were tearing up the front lawn. Harmon said, and obviously this stuck with him forever because he told the story and he quotes his dad. His dad says, "We are raising sons, not grass." What a powerful reminder of Harmon's dad and what he is called to be as a person in that moment. It's not that you can't have a nice lawn and also be a good dad. In fact, I have a father from Minnesota who grew up a Twins fan, and it is very much a sign of you got to have a pristine lawn if you're from Minnesota. And also, when it snows, you got to make sure that your driveway is clean. And it's not just a pathway for your car, but the entire driveway. I digress. Harmon's dad understood that his job at that time was to be a dad. And at that point in time, that time with his boys was much more important than grass. How much time do we spend focusing on things that, sure, they're important, but perhaps they're getting in the way of what is really important? In fact, they're also driving us away from who we are and kind of corrupting what we're actually supposed to be doing. What I mean by this is, we do want to have that pristine lawn. I am guilty of needing to drive around a cleaner car. It is, in fact, earlier this week, my son said, "Dad, if all the dog hair were dollars, we'd be billionaires." Pretty close, son. Pretty close. Took my dog around a lot before we had our house, so there's a lot of dog hair in between them. But you know what? I am happy that the Yukon that we drove to the beach, it was wonderfully cleaned out. We came back, there's dog hair, and there's beach sand. Because that meant that we had a good time as a family. But when we want to look good, we strive, we want to be good for our bosses, we want to look good for just people around us, our customers maybe our family too as well. When mom and dad are coming home and visiting, did you want to have your house clean and spotless? I've come to just to come and find that my mom is an amazing clean woman. Her view of clean and my view of clean, I'm just never gonna be on her level. So if I have specks of clutter when she comes, that's just how it's gonna be. But we wanna impress. And we wanna look good. But what we don't want to do is fall into the trap of looking kind of like whitewashed tombs, where we're trying to look good, but we're missing the point of what is important. And we're actually failing at looking good. Jesus kind of describes the chief priest. He described the chief priests in his day of doing that in Israel. He called them whitewashed tombs. Meaning they looked really good, but on the inside they were dead. They were focused on their image. They wanted to be respected. They wanted to be followed. When they spoke, they wanted people to listen. They dressed in rich, fine garments. And I'm sure when they hosted their parties, they tried to serve the finest of foods. They wanted to look good. What does this say about God? Or what does this say about us inside of God? Who are we when we are focused on ourselves instead of on Him? Let's talk about who Jesus is in Revelation. John, in this awesome vision, he says he sees an angel who showed him a river of water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of this city. This is that new Jerusalem and that new creation after we are risen from the dead. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, which has 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit in each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's an interesting passage. Jesus is that light for us. John says we're not going to need to have a lamp, candles, or sunlight. Jesus, the Lamb, is going to be our light. What was the first thing that God brought into his world that was formless and void? In the very beginning, in Genesis, he said, "Let there be light." I am by no means a scientist, a theologian, but I can't help but wonder, how could there be light in creation with no sun, with no moon, with no stars, with no lamp, with no electricity? And yet at the very end it says that we're not going to need a lamp or a sun, because the Lamb of God, Jesus, that perfect sacrifice, is going to be our light. In John's gospel account of Jesus' life, that is where Jesus boldly proclaims, "I am the light of the world." He was there in the beginning. He is there in the end. And he is with us now. And Jesus said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." And Jesus said, "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And how do we keep the words of this prophecy, this book? By receiving the one who God sent. And remembering who he is. And this is really cool. He says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done." I just love this. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What does that mean for us? As a parent, what does that mean for me? As a parent, what does that mean for you? God is, He is before all, He is after all, He's there in between. That means for me that I have grace. God had appointed this time for me to be in this world. He appointed the things around me that are happening around me. He appointed me for those times, and He appointed those times for me. And the same exact thing for you. And for you who have children, He brought them into your life to be with you. And therefore, He had a plan. You are the ones that He appointed to care for them. So we can rest in that same grace that Jesus gives us to forgive our sins. He gives us grace in the vocation of being a parent. What about of a spouse? Boy, Jesus said, if your brother, and He could have said this about if your spouse sins against you 777 times, if Peter said, if my brother sins against me 7 times, is that enough to forgive him? And Jesus says, no, 7 times 70. Or meaning, basically, as many times as they sin against you, you forgive them. Jesus has forgiven us. He has given us, by a great sacrifice, He's given us grace. God does not look upon us and see a terrible, horrible sinner. He sees the blood of His Son on us. He says, you're forgiven. You're redeemed. My Son has paid the price for you. You belong to Him. You belong to me. None can snatch you from my hand. You are forgiven. And it's in that grace that we can forgive each other. And that's not just with husbands and wives. That's with every relationship that we have. What about those times when we do what a pastor who mentored me, his name was John Burnett. I will never forget the sermon where he talked about what his mother would always call it, stinking thinking. I'll never forget that. Honey, do you remember Pastor John's sermon, the stinking thinking? We start to think about things in our minds, and they grab hold of us, and we have great anxiety about them, and we worry. And they seep into our lives. And they kind of control how the day is going and the emotions. And so we're focusing on the stinking thinking. And all of a sudden the day starts stinking too. Yet, this man who we're worshiping here today is God. He is. And I love what Paul says about him in Colossians. All things were made by him and for him. And all things hold together through him. So when we're focused on the fact that God has ordained these times for us, and He is our strength and our shield, and He is present with us even now, and we know that we have this heavenly home waiting for us, with Him, this glorious future, we can rest assured that, man, God has got me right now too, currently and present. I don't need to be focused on every little thing that can go wrong. I can let go of that stinking thinking, as Pastor John Burnett would say, or as his mother would say. And we can focus on Jesus, the one who bled and died for us. What about this world that we're in? Bad things can happen to us. We watch the news and we see how bad things continue to happen. Simply put, there is evil in this world. And times where it is right for us to stand up and protest. It is right for us to try to do something. But ultimately, there is still going to be evil. I'm like everybody else. I hear the news. I weep when I hear about a school shooting. I mourn, I grieve. I have an opinion. Maybe it's decent, or maybe it's just as short-sighted as everybody else's. But the glorious thing is Jesus does say, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done." Evil might not have to answer for it. Might not have to answer in this moment, right now, this minute. But it will. Going back to the text, John writes of this vision that he's seen. The leaves of the tree, this is the new tree of life. So we're going back to that garden, right? A newer version of it, where there was that tree of life before. But now, there's the tree of life with a river that is running through it, this crystal river. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be anything accursed. Heartache, cancer, brokenness, famine, warfare, murder, you name it. Those accursed things are done, they are gone, they are not a part of that world. Because we will be perfectly in the midst of our Alpha and our Omega, the Lamb of God who has taken away our sin. And when we are there with him in that present time, our sin will be fully taken away as well too. He's paid the price for our sin, we are forgiven. But we will no longer sin at all. We will just be saints. And we won't turn on the news and hear about what is bleeding that day. Right? If it bleeds, it leads, right? Because ultimately, the Son who has bled for us, he bled to take us to that new place, that new creation. He rose again to give us new life. And I love what C.S. Lewis talks about. He says, in Mere Christianity, he talks about how sometimes we're so quick to label things as good and bad. Yes, bad things happen in this world. But it doesn't mean that it's all bad. Because our Savior is present with us now, even today. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are near me. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. And that's good. God is with us now, and that is good. But he calls us home to glory in that heavenly paradise, that place where the thief of the cross went. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's going to be better than this. And on that last day when that trumpet sounds, and our bodies are taken up and renewed, and they're met with our spirits, and we see that new creation, that's what is best. We can have it good now because Jesus Christ is with us. He is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. And he loves you. And he forgives you. He sees you with his grace, and he says, "You are mine, and you are precious to me." So when you look in the mirror, and you notice that your shirt's kind of shrinking a little bit, and you start to get yourself kind of down, beating yourself up. Stop that stinking thinking, because you are beautiful to your Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Amen.